It's recording. We'll repeat it again. What do you mean by nothing special? Was it two-story, one-story,
one
wood,
story,
brick?
One-story, a few rooms, not too many. Though we were a big family, but still in all, in Europe, they didn't live so extravagant.
Could you tell me how many brothers you had?
I had two brothers.
And how many sisters?
And we were six sisters.
In other words, you had five sisters.
Five sisters.
How many of the brothers were older than you?
One was older than me, and one was younger than me.
And the sisters, how many older?
One was the oldest one, and then came the brother, and then I was.
And four younger. That's a big family, but
yeah,
you find
eight
many.
Eight children.
I'll tell you, many people from your time come from the big families. How long did you live in Ulman in this house?
Oh, since I was born.
And then, till how old? How many years?
Till I was about 17,
mm-hmm.
16, 17.
Did you do any kind of work as a girl?
No.
No. What did your father do? What kind of work did he do?
He was the owner of a bath.
He was the owner of a bathhouse?
Yes, bathhouse.
That had a mikveh too?
Oh, yeah.
And you told me he had smicha, but he didn't work
he
as
didn't
a rabbi.
Practice, that's right.
Could you make a living from a bathhouse?
No, you didn't. I'm telling you what it was. It's a big story, I don't know whether you want
to. Take your time.
When my father was born in Chernobyl, and after he was 7 or 8 years old, my grandmother had another son.
Mm-hmm.
In order to prevent my father to be taken into the army, because in Europe, when there was only one son, they wouldn't take him into the army.
Right.
So my grandparents left the son in Chernobyl, and they moved to our city, and then they registered my father. And that's why his name was Nepomniachtchi, because in Russian it means not remembered.
In other words, they had a different name in Chernobyl.
Sure.
What was the name in Chernobyl? Maybe it was Tversky?
I can't remember.
So they moved and it was registered.
In order to
register the only son.
That's it. So wait a minute. When my father was 13 years old, his father died.
Mm.
And he was a scholar. So there was a man, a millionaire in our city. At those times, he was a millionaire, but he didn't have any children.
What was his name?
Pinchas Niminsky. The Pinchas Niminsky was a well-known person.
Mm-hmm.
But you understand that it's long enough.
Yeah.
So he adopted my father.
See.
And he married him off. And then he left for Israel. For Palestine.
This is Reb Pinchas.
Pinchas Niminsky.
To settle there.
Yeah. So he, in order to provide my father with a good parnusse, so he bought a bathhouse for him and told him to shluk zach kopen von. So that's what it was. He even said that he should give a certain amount to the Lina Satzadek. Lina Satzadek, you know what?
Yeah.
Okay. But my father struggled all his life. He was a very brilliant man. He didn't, you know, when he took over the bathhouse, he couldn't even speak a word Russian, because he was always in shul.
Mm-hmm.
He was a scholar day and night in shul. He spent all his life practically in shul, batugim banacht. So that's what it was. He struggled, and finally he gave it up. I didn't know what was going on in the house, but the time when I left my city, my father gave up the bathhouse and moved. It was 30 years he spent on that bathhouse. But we were never rich. People thought that we are millionaires. We were living very, very, you know, elaborately. But in fact, my father was never a rich man.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so
what it
whom
is.
Whom did he marry?
A girl, you know.
A nominal girl?
Wait a minute. My grandfather was his melamed, his gemura melamed. He came to my grandfather. He was 8 years old. So then, he you know, he went to the cheder there, and then he married my mother.
The language you spoke at home was... What language did you speak at home?
Jewish.
Yiddish. Did you speak Yiddish? Any Russian Yiddish. Or Ukrainian or Polish?
No, only Yiddish and naturally Russian.
Not Ukrainian.
It's about the same.
I know, but there's a difference.
Yeah, but the mostly Ukrainian because we the woman was Ukrainian.
Yeah. You spoke Ukrainian outside.
Yeah, yeah. There was Khmelnytsky was well known in our city, Bogdan Khmelnytsky and other.
Well, the Ukrainians have him as a national hero, you know. What kind of school did you go to?
I didn't go to school.
What kind of schooling did you get?
I had schooling at home.
Private
teacher, but...
What did you study with your private teacher? What did you study?
Yiddish and Hebrew, but with the help of my father.
Mm-hmm.
The teacher used to ask, consult my father, my father. Naturally, I had...
Did all the girls together, all the sisters together, studied Yiddish and Hebrew?
Yeah. My sister, the oldest one, was 16 years old when she was married. She married a shochet.
Mm-hmm.
And she lived with us till I really left home.
Did you have any private tutoring for Russian?
Yeah, I had a teacher for
a
Russian.
A separate teacher for
Russian.
Yeah,
sure.
And other subjects?
No other subjects.
Not arithmetic?
Naturally, arithmetic.
That's
what I meant.
Which one, the Hebrew teacher or the Russian
teacher?
No,
the Russian teacher, but I'll tell you why. It was a problem because in Russia you had to go out to school on Saturdays,
mm-hmm.
and that's what it kept my father
mm-hmm.
sending the girls
mm-hmm.
to school because he wouldn't send them, we wouldn't go to school on Saturday to do writing and reading.
Yeah.
So that was why I had all our children had the education, you know, at home on account of that we wouldn't go.
What about the boys? Did they go to yeshiva or cheder?
A cheder.
The boys went to cheder, but
yes.
There was no girls' school for Hebrew.
No.
Because my grandmother used
to
take girls in the house and teach them in the house.
No, but
my grandmother had a little, what they call it, a Meidel Shecheda.
A Meidel Shecheda. But with us, we had a Hebrew teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, it was with my father's help.
Well, when you have such a Malamed for a father.
That's it. He used to teach the Malamed and the Malamed taught us.
Did your father go to Daven and at the Leib Rebbe's?
And my father, that
where did he go to Daven?
Pinchas Niminsky, wait a minute, the one who adopted him, left the shul, and it was under the name of the Tolner Klois.
Oh.
And he was the president, the Gabbai.
Your father was the Gabbai?
Yeah.
Your father was the Gabbai of the Tolner Klois?
Yeah, the Tolner Klois.
You know, the Tolner Rebbe is in Philadelphia.
Which one?
The Talmud Rebbe, Reb Dovidl Tversky, the Talmud Rebbe.
Reb Dovidl is deadly, years long.
This is a grandson that's named Reb Dovidl Talmud. Dovidl is a grandson.
Wait a minute, let me tell you something.
Reb.
The Talmud Rebbe died when he deceased, so his son took it over and he lived in Tulchid.
Mm-hmm.
Not in Tolna anymore,
yeah.
I want you to know. So my father was an ardent Tolna Hussid, but after the death of Abduvid Talner, he became Ois Hussid, and he became a friend of that Tversky, Burach Tversky.
Mm-hmm.
So he moved into our city, so the Monastereshter lived there,
mm-hmm.
and that...
Did you go to the Monastereshter?
Me?
I got my name from the Monastereshter Rebbe.
No. I never went to a Rebbe.
Oh, did you go to shul too?
Huh?
You went to shul when you were a girl.
Not as a girl.
No.
No.
The women stayed home.
The girls stayed home. Do gain the Meidlich in shul. But brains and dreams and the Meidlich negan in shul. Bezom chas in a god.
After the Talmud Klois, when your father was the Gabbai, then he went to the Leiber Rebbe.
I left. He was still taking care of the Talmud Klois.
Was it a big shul? Was it big?
Yeah, sure, close, but it was a big...
Can you describe it? Do you remember what it looked like?
An ordinary shul like here, just one floor, big shul. Sure. I was there many times, naturally.
Wood, brick, clay, how do you remember how it was built?
Probably Brick. I think it was Brick. I'm not sure, but I think it was Brick.
Did they have Ezra Snoshing? Did they have a women's...
Naturally, the second floor was for the Ezra Snoshing.
How did you get along with the non-Jews in Ulman? Around women.
Listen, just as we go around, whenever they had a chance, they take advantage of the year of the Jews. We had a pogrom there, and we had
when
everything.
When did you have a pogrom there?
It was, if I'm not mistaken, in 1905. It happened so that the police wouldn't let the pogromstickers into the city. And the Jews took a sefer Torah and they wanted to greet them in order to, you know, to make peace with them. So then they broke into the city and they carried through a pogrom and full.
Yeah, that's what happened.
It was. See, the police really took care and they wouldn't let him in. But since the Jews came out with the Sefer Torah and the Rav in front of him and wanted to make peace with him, so they broke in and they saw through a pogrom in full stage.
When you were a girl, did you belong to any organization?
No, we didn't have any organization.
Did your father belong to anything?
No.
No.
I didn't belong, first of all, they did have a Zionist organization,
yeah.
But not active, and I was a young girl yet, and I didn't belong.
Mm-hmm. And your father
I used to come
was
to
only
sometimes.
Busy with his boys?
He was, wait a minute, he was the one who took care of the Arab,
mm-hmm.
And he took care of Muschitten, and he took care of Mamet for the Rebbe.
Mm-hmm.
He was active in a communal life.
What was the relationship between the various Hasidim? Did the Manistrishtel Hasidim, did they talk to the Leiva Hasidim or the town? Oh, there was
they
war, war or peace,
that's
coexistence?
That's it. They didn't associate
didn't
one
associate.
With another.
That's very interesting. Because here in America, they're so few that they have to associate.
No, but there, the Talna Rebbe, the Manistrishtel Rebbe, he's crowd and their rabbi got Zana Hasidim. See, but I had two brothers.
Okay, jetzt erzählt mir wegen Englisch.
Und ihr wird ja soll reden in Englisch.
Nein, wir verstehen.
Oh, es ist auch right, ich kann reden in Englisch. She married him. His family, he's from Chicago,
mm-hmm.
or husband, originally from Chicago. So he was in our city. The rest of the family were all in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
His father was in America. Listen to it.
Yeah.
So he sent affidavits for the whole mm-hmm. family, and he forgot to send an affidavit for my brother-in-law.
Oy.
So they tried after the war to bring him over as a chazan, as a clergy, but such an ish goal. So now they're in Europe and Russia, and they're suffering plenty. It happened so that they sued him. He was riding in a train and someone said that all the Jews, especially the religious Jews, should be killed.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, what do you have against them? So just for that, they trialed him and he was convicted. But it happened so that on the day of the trial, the judge died. So they let him free. But anyhow, they persecuted him for years and he didn't join the Communist Party because he hoped that he'll be able to get out. So he didn't join the Communist Party, so they really tortured him. Till he became a teacher at Inter-Moscow. And then he studied there for a short while and he became an invalid. He took a heart attack, he took sick with a heart attack, and they're still, both of them are invalids.
Mm.
I want to tell you, so for years I didn't correspond with him, we were afraid. It seems that she has a daughter, my sister has a daughter. The daughter works for the government, and it seems to me that she told him that she has no relatives in America. So after my husband died, but 3 or 4 years ago, I decided I would like to go and see them.
Mm-hmm.
Especially there are people that I knew, they are friends of us. I figured not because I was afraid to go by myself, because I'm not that type, I can go. But it happened so, the people that you know, it's much better, it's more company to go with them together. I applied for a passport and I wrote to her that I decided to come to see him. So first she didn't answer. She didn't reply. And in the meantime, I'm telling you, I made arrangements even with the company to go there. Then she answered, she told me in a letter that she would like to see me, but she doesn't want me to see her in what position they have, down such a condition, in such a position that she would like me to come there. I told her right away, I don't care how they look, I'm anxious to be with them together. She answered the letter right away, with a broken heart and with tears in my eyes, please don't come.
She was,
I had my passport.
She was afraid that she would get more persecution.
I want to tell you something. I had one sister that she escaped. She came through Cuba. She's in Florida now. I got a letter. I'll show you the letter that she, my sister from Florida, begged of her. She wants to come and see her. And she says to me in a letter, with a broken heart, I had to refuse her. I can't see her. See?
She's afraid.
She doesn't give me a reason, but she says, you can
She's
do it.
She's afraid they'll open the letter and it's read it. So.
Well, read it anyhow.
So I think you answered this question. I have a question here. What was the relationship of the government of your country to the Jews?
And just as all the Jews.
I think you answered it before.
Just like all the Jews.
But you mentioned that the police did try to protect them during the pogrom.
Yeah. It happened so that they tried.
Yeah.
But,
Now, what did you think about America when you were a girl? What did you think about it?
Listen, the illusion that in America it's good and it's everything is good. And believe me, when I came to this country, I suffered plenty.
We'll get to that. Why did you leave?
Just because I thought there was no future for me and I wanted to get out of the house. See, and we had friends up here, and you know who?
Who?
It's a small world. You know Harry Morris.
I know the name. I don't know.
Don't you know her, Pearl Morris?
Yes, she was a former president of the Women's Club.
Do you know Fanny Walters?
No, I don't know.
No. Anyhow.
These were friends from Europe yet.
Yeah. Harry Morris's parents lived in our house. So they sent me a ticket and they brought me over here. Harry Morris's parents, the mother.
From Ummen.
Ah?
From Ummen.
Yeah. They really weren't exactly from women. They were coming in from a different city, but they had a factory, a macaroni factory. They established in our city, and it didn't work out. So they moved in into our house. They were our tenants. And then they decided to go to America. They had family here. So they brought me over. So the mother was actually a saint. You never see another person like her. She was a very, very religious person, and they were so poor that no matter how I will describe to you, you wouldn't have an idea. So they brought me over, and I couldn't, and in order to look for a place not to work on Saturday, so I couldn't find a job, and they had to support me too.
This was Mr. and Mrs. Morris. Their name was Morris too.
Yeah.
Morris is Nishkan Ukrainisch and Nomens, Nishkan Idish Nomens. Is him geisen as I
am? Some geisen and dream, gedenken, but here, you know, Morris, that he works for Pinsker, for Butler. Morris.
I don't know, but I told him,
One of the Butler girls is married to Morris.
Yes, I know that.
That's a brother, it's an older brother of Harry Morris.
Is euch ein Landsleid von Nomen?
Yeah.
The next question I have here is, did you have a definite destination? And the answer is yes.
Well, listen, I'm telling you.
Pittsburgh. They lived in Pittsburgh, this family.
That's it. And they brought me over here. And
why you and not a different sister or a different brother?
What?
Why did they bring you and not another member of the family? Why dafka you?
Wait a minute. It was like that. My older brother was married, and my sister was married.
Uh-huh.
And I was the one.
Next oldest.
So then the war broke out, and the revolution came on.
When did you come? I didn't write
that. 1914. I told you, I was on a boat when the war broke out.
And sure.
So that's what it is. And then I wanted to bring over the families, and my father told me, after all, a kid like him, you know, wusste de tun er de verloren gehen, and he had an old mother yet. But the schlimme Sachen sahen dort, and he wouldn't leave the children. When I left my city, my older sister had 5 children, and she was pregnant with the 6th one. Versteht ihr? So he wouldn't leave her, and the money would not show that she couldn't, they wouldn't travel, they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't come to America, so that's what it was.
Okay.
Tell me, how did you get to Bessa Polska to ask her that she recommended you? I want to know.
Because she was one of the people in the survey.
It
she
what?
Was one of the people that we talked to. And I went to interview her about the early days in Pittsburgh and so on. And one thing led to another.
Know.
But somebody else who recommended you was Marion Markowitz. Marion Markowitz told me to talk to you.
That, as I said before, as much as I can tell you.
When you came, were you part of a group?
Part of a group.
Or you came all alone?
All alone. I didn't have anybody, no relatives. Because the Morrises were only good friends.
No, I meant going from your town.
All alone.
And so on, all alone.
All alone.
How did you go?
Through Warsaw. I went
no,
to
from
Warsaw.
From Ulmen, you took
from
what?
From Ulmen, I stopped off in Kiev.
On what did you go?
Bus,
train?
I went by train till Warsaw.
Train to Warsaw.
And then I crossed the boundary line there and went to Germany, and I took my boat.
Where did you take the boat? Which port?
Rhine. Wait a minute. No, Rhine was the name of the boat. But I don't remember.
Was it Bremen or Hamburg or?
No, not Hamburg.
Bremen, maybe?
Bremen.
And which port did you arrive at in America?
Baltimore.
Was there anybody there to meet you?
No. All alone.
But you had papers to cross the border.
Oh,
you
yes.
Didn't have any
yes,
trouble.
I had a passport and I had everything. Mm-hmm. I had a passport. And then those. I was met by the Hayas people.
Hayas met
yeah.
you? That's what I
so,
just asked
so
who met you. You said no one. Hayas met you.
Wait a minute. It was so that, I don't know, there was another girl going to Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
So someone met her and they put me on the truck with the Schwarze, and the Schwarze brought me over to Morris's house.
Oh, you mean when you came already to Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
But when you got off the boat in Baltimore, was there Hayas man there?
I don't remember who, probably they were people that they put me on a train, I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'll leave that out since you don't remember.
I really don't remember. Of course, the IAS members used to come in to Mrs. Morris to find out whether I got a job or whether
oh,
I'm
so
covered.
Then they did have
oh,
some
yes.
connection.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I should mention this. You know, there was a certain period where the National Council of Jewish Women worked together with
that
Hayas.
That's what the Council of Jewish Women, that's right, not Hayas, Council of Jewish Women, that's right, that's right.
This is interesting. They came and they asked after you.
Oh, yeah, they came even while I was there for quite a while. They came in and saw and see me, you know, they saw me. They wanted to know whether I'm comfortably here and whether I was accepted and it's the right place. So, oh, yes. The Council of Jewish Women.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. After all, it's so long that I can't remember exactly.
Did they offer you a job or
no,
training
no,
or something?
No, 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 no. But Mrs. Morris had people that she knew them.
Mm-hmm.
So she recommended me in a shop.
Mm-hmm.
I worked there for
about... I didn't get to that question yet. I think it's in the next page. Excuse me for stopping you, I have that question. What did you bring with you when you came to the United States?
I was working in a shop.
Well, what did you bring with you
not
from
me.
Russia?
Not
besides
me.
Your
ship's cup. A pillow and a big pillow and a little bit of clothes, and that's all.
You didn't bring candlesticks and samovar and the rest of that stuff?
No, no, no.
Or papers?
No.
No.
I had only $25 with me to show, so you know what? After I found the job, I sent it back, and they never got it back, because it was a bank, it was Rhodes Bank,
yeah.
On Fifth Avenue, right close to Kaufman's. So they went bankruptcy, and they took my $25 too. They never
now, the next question you already answered me, but I want to write it in here. Is your name the same as it was in Europe?
Не помнишь?
Yes, but you said you changed it.
For nothing.
How do you spell it?
N-E-F-F-I-N.
And I don't think I have to ask you why.
What?
I don't think I have to ask you why. I can imagine if you told somebody, my name is Miss Nepomniachtchi.
Wait a minute. Even on a station in Baltimore, when I got off the boat, mm-hmm. and I told her my name, she said, I hope you change your name. So then when I started going to school, the teacher told me, look, it's impossible for me to pronounce your name. So she changed it for nothing.
Uh-huh, I see.
Because what? It was really a hard name to pronounce.
For someone whose tongue is not used to the Russian sound, it's hard. What first impressed you when you came to the United States?
Everything impressed. Everything. I was amazed of everything. You know, now I'm thinking back that I took everything for granted. Though I'm telling you, they lived in such a poverty that you have no idea. And I took that it's natural. I took it that way, that's how it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. But everything impressed me. I didn't complain about anything.
There are two questions here. The first one says, what first impressed you when you came to the United States? And the second one, what first impressed you when you arrived in Pittsburgh? In other words, they mean like when you first got off the boat.
Naturally, everything, you know, the buildings, big buildings, and the streetcars and everything, because we didn't have any streetcars in Newman. They were talking about having streetcars, but there weren't any. Mm-hmm. So naturally, everything what I saw impressed me.
And when you came to Pittsburgh?
I came from Baltimore. I didn't see anything. Right from the station, they put me on a train to Pittsburgh.
Do you remember maybe your first impressions when you...
I'm telling you, I was impressed with everything.
Okay. Do you remember your very first day in Pittsburgh? Tell it like a story, your very first day when you came to Pittsburgh. You started to tell me and I stopped you.
Mrs. Norris.
Which train station did you come?
The B&O.
Yeah.
And I saw a family, a colored family with small children. I was so impressed. I did see once in a while in our city a Schwarzer pass by, but you know, it was something like an antique, you see something. But here, when I saw a whole family with small children, colored, I was so impressed. I looked at them and I wanted to see whether it's real. And then naturally, you know, I came to that Mrs. Morris.
Did she come to the station?
No, I'm telling you, there was a woman, a girl, that she was born on the same street that I went. Mm-hmm. And it seemed that she had family, so they put me on a truck, on a Schwarzer.
On a truck?
On a truck.
Not a wagon.
No, on a truck. But in Zarev Gizet, on a truck, and we went there. And in fact, she lost her shoes on a boat, so she came barefooted.
Mrs. Morris was there waiting to greet you at the house?
At the house, yeah. I had the address, naturally.
And it was morning, night, afternoon?
In the morning. I rode all night.
And
from Baltimore to Pittsburgh.
Do you remember then, how the reception was?
Naturally they accepted me warmly, and she sent for me. She was only too glad that I came.
Did you call her Tante? Did you call her Tante?
No. By your first name, Bazzi.
How far apart in age were you?
Oh, she had three children.
Ah, she was, I see.
She had Harry and Sammy, you know Sammy Morris.
I don't know them.
Harry, Sammy, and Fanny Walters. Mm-hmm. So when I came to this country, Fanny was about 2 or 2.5 years old. She was born here. Mm-hmm. The two kids, the one who was married to the butler girl, he was a boy of 13 already. He was bar mitzvah in the year when he came here. But Fanny was born year after they were here for a couple of years.
Was there anything about your life in the United States that disappointed you during the first 5 years? We're talking now about the first 5 years.
I had a hard time, as I said before, getting a job, not to work on Saturday. So I had a hard job, a hard time. I tried to work in a bakery. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a job just for a few weeks. I used to get up 6 o'clock dinner in the morning to walk to the bakery. And still, it for $3 a week, and it didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I suffered the first few years. I suffered an awful lot because, as I said before, I couldn't get a decent job. And then I had to pay for board because they were very poor. And finally, I met my husband, and, you know, the war broke out. So we didn't want to get married because I was afraid he'd be sent to the war, to war. So we were going around just like that. And he was taken into the army, but they didn't keep him long because on account of his eyes, he was nearsighted. So they sent him back. When he went to the army, I had an uncle, a mainstay.
Mm-hmm.
It was a brother of my mother, and they didn't have any children. It was just a small town, 6 Jewish families were there. So I went there. And
when was this, 1918.
Mm-hmm. That's it. So I went there, and then my husband was in the army a short while, and he came there, and we were married there.
Mm-hmm.
And we came.
I'm going to ask you a little while about how you met and everything, so that's why I'm stopping you now.
I met him in the organization.
I'll ask you in a minute.
Okay.
That's why I'm stopping, and I'm not trying to be impolite.
Do as much as you want to.
Okay. Was there any point during the first 5 years when you felt unjustly treated because you were an immigrant?
No. Never. I'm telling you, the only thing is that I couldn't work on Saturday on account of the morals. First of all, I was religious, you understand, from what home I
mm-hmm.
came.